be your name in a land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me and the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, those pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Hey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Thank you, Sean. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to stand for those that are in the house.
Hallelujah. We're live?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. Praise the Lord. Before my wife pray, I just want you guys to know, my wife asked me about, what time was it? Did you leave?
Oh.
The house about 11 or so.
Yeah, 11 o'clock.
She said, "How's the message going?" I said, "I got nothing." Then she said, "You need prayer." So she prayed over me, and then the Lord gave me the message.
Amen.
So it's like teamwork.
Amen.
So God is good.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
So believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. That would scare me to death. Yeah. Sandy, get that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The way him and the Lord speak is a little different.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Our Father, name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, that your word is true and real, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, dear Jesus. And when we have your joy, dear Lord, the impossible is possible, dear Lord. So I thank you. I thank you for this day of prayer, dear Jesus. I thank you that we can pray even at what it seems like to be the last minute, dear Lord, and you come through strong, dear Lord. So I'm excited to hear what the Spirit has to say on this day, dear Jesus. Let it be full in our belly, dear Lord. Speak to Sandy first, dear Lord, and lay the foundation for us to receive. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone around the world, praise the Lord. Never thought I'd say that, but Pastor Ben.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So we got to talk to Rashawn. We're going to have lunch with a guy who's a member of our church that lives in Redondo. Tuesday, he said, after we work out, can he join us for Bible study? And said he'll treat us for lunch. I'm like, oh, free? You know, we take free lunch. So, yeah, that would be a blessing. Oh, man. Redondo has turned into a hot spot, huh? So I don't know if my other friend is watching, but seems like every time we go out there, we're ministering now. So good. It's a good thing. So praise the Lord. Me and Rashawn, we had a little Bible study after, and we were doing a study on the 1,000 years, you know, the millennium and all of that stuff. And so we got to a portion of the scripture that said that were not allowed to cross over into the promised land because they did not have faith, because they didn't keep the faith. Or, well, it said they didn't have faith, but knowing Hebrew and knowing the Greek study in the Hebrew, there is a word for faith. And the word for faith is emuna. And you know, emuna has nothing to do with believing in something that you don't see.
Right.
Emuna has to do with my faithfulness towards you as a husband or as a wife or as a friend, that I'm faithful to you. So the word emuna is very important in Hebrew because it is the thing that God expects from his people, okay? I know that when we're young, sometimes people say, hey, don't use the Lord's name in vain, right? And to not use the Lord's name in vain does not mean, you know, you said God, then you said a curse word.
Right.
Okay. That does not mean using the Lord's name in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain means that it has to do with a marriage. Because remember, he's giving them these commandments as he's given the Ten Commandments. The first five have to do with their loyalty toward God, right? And so one of the loyalty commandments is that you will not take the Lord's name in vain. And now listen to how it said. And then we took that and said, you will not use the Lord's name. Mm-hmm. He said, no, you will not take the Lord's. Lechach, you will not take my name as if we're getting married and my wife takes on the name Armstrong. And then now she leaves and then she goes out acting like she's not married, doing the same stuff she did before she was married. That means she took my name, but she took it in vain.
Yes.
Because nobody can really tell she's married, right? That's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
So only a person who calls themselves a Christian can really take the Lord's name in vain. You understand?
Right.
People who are not saved do not take the Lord's name in vain. They might defile it by the things that they say and the language that they use, but to take the Lord's name in vain, you actually have to start a relationship with him, and then people around you are going, well, I never thought you were a Christian in the way you act. Then that means you were taking the Lord's name in vain. And so the Lord says, do not take my name in vain, because the Lord is a jealous God, okay? So We have to understand the difference between believing and the difference between getting into a relationship. And I have a feeling that this is going to turn into preaching, which I'm better at teaching, I think. But we have to really understand that what God is looking for is faithful people, not people that believe he exists, okay? Because anybody, as we'll read today, I gotta get my good glasses. Anyone can believe in God, okay? And to actually start this off, we wanna talk about something. Let's go to the book of James. And we're going to be in chapter 2 because I want to explain to you something that is pretty incredible, I think. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 19.
Hallelujah.
The book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. I'm actually start at verse 18, okay? It says, but someone will say, you have faith. And it says, I have deeds. He says, show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith with what I do. Right. You believe there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that and shudder or are fearful, okay? So what James is saying here is this is not a chapter about works, because they almost tried to take this book out of the Bible because they said, well, James is saying you have to go by works. This is a chapter about what you do versus what you say. OK, I say I'm married. OK, let me see if you are married by what you do. OK, and what James is making the statement is, I'm going to show you my faithfulness by my actions. You say you have faith, I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. He says, because the faith that you're showing me, even demons have that faith. You understand? And what is that faith? The faith to believe that there is a God.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, he uses demons because you have to understand, demons were born on earth. A matter of fact, the Hebrew word really began calling them earthborn, okay? These were those that were Nephilim, and the Nephilim, the angels married women, and then they had these children, and these children are called Nephilim, who after the flood became demons, okay? Nephilim have never been to heaven. Angels have been to heaven. Angels don't have to believe there's a God. They know there's a God. They were there. Okay? Demons believe what the angels told them and probably took them down to Hades to show them where some of their relatives are. So demons believe that there is a hell. They believe that there's torment. They believe that there is a God. They believe in the Son of God that was coming. Okay? And it is a pistos, which is the Greek word, means that they have it's a verb. So it's a continual belief. Every day they know there's a God, okay? The thing that they don't have is emuna. They're not faithful to God. They don't keep his word. They're not in relationship with God. But do they believe he exists? Yes, okay? So some people get the idea that to believe in God means I'm done. And to believe in God means no more than what a demon does, okay? He just believes that he exists, all right? So, let's go to Luke chapter 8. We're gonna be... I want to thank everybody for cards they send, letters they send, messages that I get on Facebook and YouTube and everything. Questions I get, I try to answer as many as I can. Never had 25,900 friends, but I'm doing the best I can. But I will get back to you sooner or later. And there's one guy I know I have to call. You're in Luke chapter 8. And we are going to be in verse 26. Okay. And I think 24, 25. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 25. This is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Da, 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 da. No, here it is, 26. It says, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, where is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." Is he speaking or the demon?
Demon.
That demon speaking. Let me tell you guys something. And I'm just, we had a guy came in here one night and he was talking to himself, right? He was being disruptive. He was talking to himself. And I went over and he said, "Can I come sit down?" And I was like, "I'm going to kick him out of church because I think he's nuts." But I said, "Yeah, come on in. You want prayer?" I said, "If you want prayer, you can come in." He came in and sat down and he kept talking, like jerking and saying stuff. And Pastor Ben said, "In the name of Jesus, shut up." Was Pastor Ben talking to him or to the demon? The demon. You know that demon shut up? Didn't say another word. He said, "In Jesus' name, shut up and be quiet. I'm talking to him." And that guy got quiet. He stopped talking. He sat right there. I was like,
whole service.
The whole service. He even sat there for the whole sermon. And he might have wiggled a little and did some kicks, but he didn't say one word until that service was over. And then we prayed again over him and he left. He came back to visit on Wednesday night and said, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Remember me?" And I was like, "What?" And I went, "Oh my goodness, it's the guy that came in here talking to himself." He says, I said, "Are you still with the Lord?" He said, "I never left. I've been reading my Bible. I've been doing everything. I'm still in the Lord. We can't go to church right now. Can I come on Sunday? Will they let me in?" And I said, "We have a few people here." He said, "I'm going to try and come on Sunday." But he was the same. He said, "I see my new bike." I was like, "Nice." Now, he still had the same tattoos. He looked the same way, but his behavior was different. Now, I want to ask you a question after I read this, okay? Because it says here, it says, "For when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon man in the town. A long time, this man had worn no clothes," okay? And lived in a house. He lived in a tomb, okay? "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me.' For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and feet under guard, he had broken the chains and was driven by the demon into a solitary place." Ow! Listen to what he did, okay? I probably preached on this before, but that word said he took him, in some translations said took him to the wilderness, but in the Greek it says it took him to a solitary place so that the demon could only deal with him, right? This is what I don't like about not having church. Because if somebody's going through something, you know where the demon wants you? In a solitary place where he can deal with you by himself and you can't have anybody pray for you or anybody help you, right? Mm. So the demon took him to a solitary place and kept him there, and he was naked the whole time and had no place to live, right? But the demon knew who Jesus was. And if I continue here, it says, Jesus asked him, what is your name? He said, Legion. He replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not, and they begged him. Who they begging?
Jesus.
They're begging Jesus. I couldn't understand why this guy who walked in here just as disruptive and talking to himself and fidgeting and kicking his legs could sit there for an hour and listen to me preach the gospel after Pastor Ben told the demon to get out. And so you have to understand what's going on here. Now watch this here. It says, and they begged him repeatedly. The demons begged him repeatedly not to order us to go into the abyss. Obviously, they know that the abyss is not a good place. So they must have seen it. I think their relatives took them down there and say, there are some of your relatives. Yep, that's them screaming in torment. This will happen to you. There's a guy coming called the Son of God of the Most High. And when he gets here, you make sure you obey or he'll send you here too. Because they seem to have a lot of respect for Jesus, right? And it says, and then he sees a large a herd of pigs, and they ask him, they said the demons begged Jesus to let us go into them, and he gave them permission. And so they went in there, and then the pigs like, I'd rather drown. And they ran and jumped in the water and said, I'd rather drown than have a demon living in me. So in one of the other cases, the demon says, are you here to torment us before our time, before the appointed time? As if they knew that there was an appointed time. That means some of their relatives told them that a judgment has come, but God has appointed a time. And they know that Jesus is there early. So we have to understand something about the spirit realm that we don't understand. Now, these very demons who are just as defiled as they can be, believe in Jesus. Mm. They fear him. They don't want any confrontation, okay? They may not fear him like we're gonna live right, but they don't want any confrontation, okay? Now, if they believe in God, okay, then who are we to ask someone, do you believe in Jesus? And they go, yes, I do. Do you believe he died on the cross? Yes, I do. Do you believe he rose from the grave? Yes, I do. Then you say, okay, you're saved. And then we say, well, ask him to come in your heart. And then they say the prayer, and then they walk away, and then we don't see any change. We're going, maybe they never really got saved. Maybe they really didn't mean the prayer. Maybe you never explained to them the whole deal. Because coming into this, first of all, most of the time we do that, we never say repent first.
Right.
Nobody says repent. Because if you ask people to repent, they got to admit that they're wrong about something, right? So we never say repent. But the first thing that is said in Acts, it says repent and believe in the gospel, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing is to repent. So once they repent and they realize that they're going the wrong way, then you ask him, do you believe in Christ? And then after, you got to go, this is a war. What you just believed in is now going to be a continual war, and you've got to decide, are you willing to fight against sin so that you don't go back to that same lifestyle and that you continue to grow in Christ and disciple that person so that they can grow? This is not about getting people to say, I believe in Jesus, and then give them a right hand of fellowship, is what they used to do when I was a kid, and sit you there and give you a right hand of fellowship. And most of those kids turned out to be some of the worst gang members in the neighborhood, right? Never repented, just went up and say, I believe he's up there.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
We've got to go past that. So here we are. Let's go to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. Verse 16, most famous verse in the Bible, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, okay, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, if they believe, but let's look at the word believe, okay? Pistou, which is a verb, so it's continual belief, but it says to believe or place your trust in something to save you, okay? So now the pistou, which is they're talking in the Greek, they're saying, I believe, I'm going to believe continually, because when you say believe in this Greek word, you say this is going to be a continual belief and a trust in Jesus to save me, okay? And it says, if that person, it says, trust in him, if you believe in him, you shall not perish. And then the word perish means, oh my goodness, the word perish means, to be destroyed and given over to misery in hell, okay? And that is the word apolamai, okay? So what Jesus is saying here is that if you believe in me, if you put your continual trust in me, you will never be destroyed by having the rest of your existence or your existence after this earth in eternal hell and misery, okay? So the promise is you can have life if you believe in him, and you will not spend eternity in misery and hell, okay? That's the promise. We forget that because this person is being saved from something. You understand?
Yes.
The person is being saved from something. That's when me and Pastor Ben was reading the other scripture that said, if you see a brother who's in sin, okay, it says, if you are righteous, go and if you get him turned from his sin and back to righteousness, you have saved a brother.
Yeah.
And he makes sure that he says, this is a brother you're talking about, okay? But he's gone away from the faith. And now he says, if you who are righteous, go and correct him. And he comes back. He says, you have saved a soul from Thanatos, which means the same thing as this word, a destruction and misery in hell. So God is trying to get people to live right, okay? Because here's a brother who is going the wrong way, and he says, but if you are a brother and you see him and you get him to turn back, you saved him from an eternity in hell. So that means he walked away from Christ, and you know your actions are leading you away from God. And they're not just leading you away from church membership and church service. They're leading you because you have something very valuable that Satan wants. And until you understand that, you won't understand what the war is. And you won't understand your enemy because he's trying to, how can you put this? Satan never shows up like, with a red suit on and a thing and a whole nine, right? And he never is gonna show up like, no girl's gonna come to you and go, hey, you wanna fornicate and forget about God with me? They don't come like that. Satan is slick, right? I'm gonna tell this story, but it was weird. I was at church and this girl was like, you know, she was older than me. I was in high school and she was like, you know, you just really need to get in your word. Here's my address, come over and we're gonna get into the word, right? And I'm in high school, I just gave my life to Christ, I'm 17, right? And I get there and she pulls out some oil, like I'm gonna pour this on you. I was like, yeah! She's like telling me what she gonna do to me. I was like, I'm 17. I just broke up with my girlfriend to give my life to Christ. And now here I am with a church girl that wants to, I was like, so I got out of there. Brother, I'm talking to you about get your hands off me. I mean, it could have gotten physical. And I was like, get your hands off me, I'm leaving. I got on my bike and I rolled back home. And I'm like, wow. But she appeared so nice. I thought while I was going for Bible study, because I'm dumb and I'm 17. So Satan, you have, and it's very insulting. Mm-hmm. I should have been very mad at Satan, because you should be angry at Satan that he thinks you're dumb.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He doesn't think that you're going to see past what he's doing, right? So he expects you to, like, he'll bite it, or she'll bite it. You know what I mean? At some point, you've got to go, let me see what this is. No, that wouldn't be a good situation for me. You have to be fighting for what you believe in, okay? Now, let's continue on here.
Good word, Pastor.
I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 4, okay? And I'm hoping this don't take all of our time. Hebrews chapter 4. Now listen to this, please. It says, from verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering the rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with emunah. So that means that the people that came out of Egypt, he's saying, remember, they had a good message spoken to them too, that they were coming out of Egypt and they were going into the promised land, right? And he said, but it served them no good because they didn't mix what they heard with emunah. Was emunah? Faithfulness. Okay? Complete fidelity is what the word means, right? Complete fidelity, which means I am on God's side. I am loyal to God. I do not change my mind about God. I am completely loyal to God. He said these people did not get to cross over into the Passover, into the only two went over that originally came out. That's Joshua and Caleb, right? So these people did not mix what they heard with faithfulness toward God.
Amen.
So it said, because of that, they were not able to enter in, okay? Because God is not interested that you believe that he exists. You can walk outside and look at the sun and say there's a God.
Amen.
He's interested who wants to be a faithful friend, okay?
Man.
And then it says here, it says, for also, where's that? Okay, it says, now, we who have believed enter that rest. We're in Christ, right? Just as God has said, so I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about a seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter the rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their what? Disobedience. So they didn't go in because of what? Disobedience. Not they didn't go in because they didn't have enough works. Works and obedience are as different as apples and oranges.
Yes.
Do we understand that? I don't have to go and witness every day. I do that out of the spirit that lives in me. I don't have to go feed the poor. That's works. Okay? But I do have to not cheat on my wife, and I do have to not lie to people to get money out of, okay? Because now that's disobedience to God, okay? So disobedience and works are as different as apples and oranges. You get no credit for obedience, right? You're like, okay, honey, I brought you some flowers. Here are the beautiful flowers. And she goes, thank you. And she goes, and then I go, and I didn't cheat on you today.
Mm.
You get no thank you for that. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
God expects obedience. If you do works, awesome. I beautiful. You're the body of Christ out there doing. But when it comes to obedience to his word, you're supposed to do that. Yeah, I'm going to give you no credit. I didn't cheat on you today, honey. And, well, you want a cookie? Now, I didn't cheat on you either. How about that? You know what I mean? It's crazy. You get no. So God expects obedience. He says, they did not enter in because of disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later of another day. So when Joshua crossed them over, that was not the rest that God was talking about.
Right.
He was talking about the 1,000-year millennium.
Yeah.
He was talking about, if you continue your faith, when I come and reign for the 1,000-year millennium, you will reign with me for 1,000 years. And so God wants you to not rapture. He wants you that when he comes back, that you get to reign and rule with him on earth for 1,000 years. This is a glorious future. But you have an enemy. And your enemy is like, if I can get you to not be faithful, I've seen people lose their eternal life before. This is what demons do. They say, we've met Christians before. We've talked them out of Christianity. We've talked some of them out of Christianity into Buddhism. We've talked some of them out of Christianity into a lifetime of money making. It's like, I'm after what you have. Why? Because I don't get eternal life, and I don't have the ability to repent. And I used to live in heaven, Satan would say, and it's a glorious place, and I don't get to go back. So if I don't get it, why should I just let humans go with no fight? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a fight. You come into Christianity, what? For a fight. Yes. Are you ready for the fight? After I lead you into, yes, I believe in Jesus coming to my life, then I should say, now you ready for the fight? Because now God says, put on your whole armor, pick up your sword, put on your shield, get your helmet, right? He starts telling you to pick up all of these utensils to go to battle with, right?
Yeah.
The shield of faith, all of these things that God is telling you in Ephesians, do these things, read your word, pray, have your faith, because now you're in a battle, and he says, pick this up daily, so that you can endure the fight, okay? Because Satan is going to be after you. I wish somebody would have told me that when I accepted Christ at 17. Because I needed to get ready to fight. It shouldn't have been a shock to me that things were coming at me. I was like, it's as if God don't want me to live. He's sending all these crazy people into my life. No. God wants you to live right. There's someone that is after your faith.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Okay, so God wants you to be what? In that millennial time. There's our brother. That's him right there.
Is that him?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's here. So now, here we go. What's up, my brother?
Hey,
I thought you forgot about me. Come up here.
Hallelujah. It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you. How you feeling?
You looking good, man.
Thank you.
Say hello to my people on YouTube.
Hello.
God bless you.
God bless
you. You still with Jesus, right?
Always.
Never. God bless you, man.
God it's God good to you see too. You.
You know, before you left here last time, you told us your name, but we hadn't seen you. What's your name? Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah. That's a good name. Have a seat, bro.
Thank you.
All right. You need a water here? You've been riding your bike. There you go. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith. Speaking of the angel. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, let's go. Now, I read that, and then we'll get back to that 1,000-year millennium, right?
Amen.
Go to Acts chapter 4. thank you, Drea. She prayed for me, and God started giving me scripture after scripture. Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Now watch this.
People online are saying, hi, Stephen.
Hey, hallelujah. So now check this out. In this scripture, I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, if you are being called into account today, the act of kindness, and they healed this crippled guy, and then now he's healed. And it says, then now this is you people to Israel. Okay, let's go. Okay, yeah, we'll start at verse 10. Okay. Then now, this you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. It says, he is the stone. Who's the stone? Jesus. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone or the cornerstone. And then he says this, salvation is in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So that means there's no other name in the earth realm, in the existence, that you can call on that will save you from hell, only Jesus.
Amen.
So God, he's letting you know there's no other name. Because when Jesus comes, what does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. So he's letting you know there's no other way for you to escape hell except you believe in Jesus Christ, and that not just believe in him, but it becomes a verb in your life, and you're trusting him for what? Your salvation.
Yes.
And now he wants you to also be loyal to him.
Yes.
Okay? Because you can... Now, anybody can be loyal when you're at home.
Right.
You know, me and my wife were at home, I'm loyal, but what if I go out with the fellas somewhere and they're out talking and then some girl walks up and then, you know, am I loyal now? My wife's not watching.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God don't want you to be loyal at church. He wants to know, what do you do when you go home? Are you still believing in Jesus? Are you still living for Jesus when you're not in the presence of the church?
Mm-hmm.
But it's something strange about God. He's that spouse that can see everything you're doing everywhere you go, right? He's got a camera on you,
yeah,
and he's watching you everything, because nothing can hide from God.
Nothing.
So it's not like you can cheat on God and he don't know. So if you start lying to yourself, you are doing exactly that. You're lying to you, because God sees everything you do.
Amen.
Right? So, and that scripture says that. And let's go to Acts chapter 24. Now watch this. This is a glorious future. I was telling one of the brothers about Daniel. Just talking about eternity. You know, like when Daniel Hood, when he got shot and then he died and then he came back, the main thing he wanted us to know was that hell was real. And when he go into the prisons and he would talk to all the young kids that were in the prison, he would always tell them about his experience, right? And I love Daniel Hood, because Daniel would go in his pocket and always pull out his obituary, because it was printed up in the paper the next day, and because he was supposed to, young man got shot and he died last night, and Daniel would be like, oh yeah, here's my obituary. I was already printed up in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's telling people about, you know, his experience. And we have to understand, you know, when you're writing a sentence, there's a period, and then sometimes you're writing a sentence, there's a comma.
Yeah.
Death is a comma.
Yes.
You continue writing on. You continue going on. Death is not a period, it's a comma.
Amen.
You understand? So once you leave here, God is like, great to meet you.
Yeah.
Let's really have life. If you've been emunah, if you've had faith,
But if you only believed, but you lived crazy like you wanted to do and did everything against God, God is not going to look at you and go, oh yeah, you believed that I exist. That's all that you needed. No, you needed a little bit more. You needed to be faithful to God, and you needed to spend time with God. You needed to read his word. You didn't get to know him, so he didn't get to know you. It's like all of these things that are inclusive into accepting Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? It's a relationship. On one of our cards you have, this is a relationship. This is not a religion. This is a day-to-day relationship with God. Do you need a church to have a day-to-day relationship with God? No. If you got a Bible, you can have a day-to-day relationship with God. Do you have a place to pray? You can have a day-to-day relationship with God. Well, I don't have a room in my house where I can pray. There is a park. Nobody will arrest you if you get on your knees and pray. You can pray wherever you're at,
yes,
so you can have a day-to-day relationship with God. You can't get to God with excuses where you're at.
Yes.
Okay? So emunah is not something impossible. Faithfulness and getting to know God is not something impossible.
Yes.
Are you in Acts chapter 2? Now this is what it says here. Acts chapter 24, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 24, and we're going to be in verse 14, and it says, however, I admit that I worship God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which is Jesus Christ, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law, and that it is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God that these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked.
Yeah.
Or if you have a King James, it will say there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. It says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. So he said he strives. What is strive? He works every day to make sure I keep my conscience clear before myself and before God. He didn't just say, I believe. He said, I strive every day.
Yes.
To make going good or things are going bad. God still wants to talk to you. Kids, your kids move away and you go, well, my mom don't want to hear from me. Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. She wants to hear from you every day. If you call her, she's happy. You know why? Rather you're doing good or rather you're doing bad, they want to hear from you. Why? Because they love you.
Yeah.
Right? And God wants to hear from you every day because he loves you and he's in a relationship with you. You understand?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a resurrection of the righteous, and there'll be a resurrection of the unrighteous or the wicked, right? So there's two different types of resurrections, okay? Now,
10 minutes, Pastor.
Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Now, the first thing that we're looking for is this, is coming. Trumpets will blow. Come up here. Sound kind of like that. And the dead in Christ, who have died in Christ before us, will go up to heaven to be with the Lord in the cloud, right?
Right.
And it says, we who are still walking around day to day will be caught up with them. It says, out of a living body, you're going to be like, boom, gone. And it says you will meet with them in the cloud, and forever you will be with the Lord from that day. That day is coming and close.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting at the precipice of it coming. I talked to my friend, the CIA guy and the guy in Japan today. He said, they are pushing COVID until we have a one world republic. They said they're not backing off of it. So he says, we are either in for a war before Trump gets elected or a war after he gets elected, but you better understand this is a war between the cabal or the Illuminatus or Satanism, and this is a war against those 200 generals who decided to rebel against the system. Okay? And so we're looking at the book of Revelation coming into effect, no matter who wins or loses.
That's right.
So you can get all your mind off of Trump and get all your mind off of politics, because the losers are those who aren't ready for the book of Revelation to begin.
Right.
And the book of Revelation is about to begin. And so this is why we're on God. I'm on God's side. I always like being on the winner's side. You know what I mean? I'm on God's side. So now we're about to be taken out. And then, but now once we're taken out, we're in heaven for 7 years. But God still has to come back and deal with what? The false prophet, the Antichrist, and the beast. He still got to throw them into Hades.
Yeah.
So after 7 years, when he comes back and he judges the world, he'll be back on earth for how long? What did Hebrews says? For that 1,000 year one day, because 1,000 years is as a day to God.
Yeah.
So him for 1,000 years. And he says, this is what I'm preparing you for. What? Not a period. I'm preparing you for the comma and real life. You understand? I'm preparing you for what comes after the church.
Yeah.
Okay. You in Revelation chapter 20? Now watch, I'm going to start reading in verse 4. Souls of those have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. This is during the tribulation. How do I know? They had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hands. So these people went through tribulation, but they didn't sigh, blew the horn. We're in heaven. So we don't know nothing about tribulation. We're in heaven. But now all of these people, when Jesus comes back, he says, okay. It says, those people that kept the faith during the tribulation, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Okay, now listen. The rest of the dead, who's the rest of the dead? Because the right, but every time I got arrested, they took me to jail. Only one time they took me to prison. They always took me to jail. And then I had to go back to court to prison. I mean, go back to court, and then if you lose in court, then you go to prison. But first you gotta go to jail. Hades is jail, okay? Hades is jail. You've been arrested.
Indicted.
What you did is wrong. Now you get and demons, and you gotta wait there for how long?
1,000 years
before you get your court date.
The court date.
And then it says, let's go to verse 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne, which was, and him who sat on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. I saw those who are righteous already with God, but those who are in Hades, now they get to get resurrected. And it says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead, or the unjust, or the unrighteous, were judged according to what they had done. You want to get judged according to what you had done? I know I did some things, right? And that's what I was trying to explain to our friend this past week. I was like, ain't no way in the world I want to pay for my own sins. Because Jesus already paid for that, right? Why would I want, wait, first of all, the penalty is too high. I don't want to pay for my own sins. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. So why would I say, you know, I don't need Jesus. I think I'll take my chances and pay for my own sins. No, you don't have to do that. You can be cleared of great and small standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. I don't want to get judged by what I've done. I did too many things. So you know what I did? I said, Jesus, if you died for all this Let me give it to you. Let me take the stolen goods out of my pocket and let me put them in your pocket. And Jesus goes, give it all to me. I'm going to take all that punishment for it. Give it to me. For you to enter into glory as an innocent person, even though you're not innocent. You're not innocent. None of us are. But this is what God has planned. He said, I got you. No problem. I got you. All you have to do is be faithful.
Yes.
Because some people come into this, and some of us think this is all about the rapture. This is only a little about the rapture. This, to me, is about not going to hell.
Yes.
Because that's an eternal spot.
Mm-hmm.
And even if somebody says, well, you know, after when they get thrown into the lake of fire, they just burn up and then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just say that, but the Bible don't say that's true. But if that's happening, 1,000-year sentence, you still have to go through that before you get a court date.
Right.
And if somebody gave me 1,000 years right now, you would see a grown man cry. If I stood before a judge and I said, I'm sentencing you to 1,000 years, I would start crying. And knowing where I'm going, because I'm going to Hades. I remember this guy came to prison. He was, he said he was Snoop Dogg's little brother, his last name. And, but all the guys find out. And now he's thinking he's going to jail so that, and he's just going to sit in his cell and read a book like on TV, you know? But when you go to prison, you're there with a bunch of bad people, right? They beat him up every day, people trying to stab him, people taking his food at lunchtime. And he's like, man, he asked the warden, can I stay in my cell for 23 hours? Because you can stay in 23 and get 1 hour out by yourself if you're scared, right? So he asked for 23-hour lockup and only 1 hour out by himself so he could. But see, you have to understand, when you go to Hades, you're not going there by yourself. There's a lot. Everybody that's worse than you is there. All the demons that died are there with you. You understand? You're not going to a good place. So you have to understand what Jesus saved you from and what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
It's not about being a good Christian. It's about I'm fighting for life.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for my relationship with God so that my eternity is set. Are you fighting for that? That's what you want to be fighting for. You understand? And so this is a beautiful thing to be in because a lot of people don't know Jesus.
Amen.
But you do. So you should wake up and thanking God. A lot of people don't know that the rapture is coming. They think that the coronavirus is going to be over and everything's going to go back to normal. They have no idea they're living in the last days. But you do. You should wake up with a smile on your face and praise God.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm at. Last week when Jill was here, I said, I love waking up. She said, I love when you said that. Because I do. It's wonderful to wake up and know that me and God are best buddies.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Me and God, buddies. You mean the guy that made the sun? Yep. We like that. With the keys to life and death? Yep.
Yeah.
We like that. God said, make friends with him while there's time. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.